Good morning, and welcome to the Innovative Solutions and Support conference call to announce the acquisition of certain Honeywell product lines. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw from the question queue, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would like to turn the conference over to Mike Linacre, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning. This is Mike Linacre, Chief Financial Officer of Innovative Solutions and Support. I'd like to welcome you to our conference call to discuss our acquisition of several Honeywell product lines. Joining me is Shyam Kapur, our Chief Executive Officer and a member of our Board of Directors. Before we begin, I would remind our listeners that certain matters discussed in the conference call today, including new products and operational and financial results for future periods, are forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially, either better or worse, from those discussed, including other risks and uncertainties reflected in our company's 10-K, which is on file with the SEC and other public filings. Now I'll turn the call over to Shyam.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everyone. This is Shyam Kapur, Chief Executive Officer of Innovative Solutions and Support. Welcome to our conference call to discuss our acquisition of several product lines from Honeywell Aerospace. On Friday, June 30th, we signed an agreement with Honeywell Aerospace to acquire key assets and entered into an exclusive license agreement for certain of their inertial, communication, and navigation product lines. This transaction provides us with exclusive intellectual property rights to manufacture, upgrade, and repair certain nav, comm radios, and inertial reference system products. This is a unique opportunity that enhances our current offerings with product lines that can be found on literally thousands of aircraft in our target air transport and business aviation markets, with potential to expand that market to the military platform. We believe that in fiscal 2024, this acquisition will increase our revenue by over 40%. In terms of gross margins, we believe that they will approximate our existing margins as we further integrate the operations into our P&L over the next several months. We see this acquisition as a unique opportunity to grow and diversify our organic navigation product portfolio with products that both cater to our existing customer base and help grow our customer portfolio. We also believe there are growth opportunities available both by marketing to a sizable untapped repair and overhaul market and in acquiring a customer network representing potential new business opportunities for the acquired products as well as other products, ISMS products. In addition, there are potential cost synergies to be realized in better leveraging our skilled engineering teams and excess operations capacity in Exton. The acquired product lines have years of proven performance and are renowned for their reliability and dependability. The inertial reference units are operational on thousands of air transport category aircraft, including Boeing 737, 747, 757, 767, Airbus A300, A310s, as well as thousands of business aircraft ranging from Gulfstream 5s to Citations. The navigation and communication radios, transponders, radio management units, and audio systems are also installed in thousands of prestigious business aviation aircraft. As part of this transaction, we have the exclusive perpetual free of charge license to all the IP that allows us to expand and complete our product offerings in the areas of inertial, communication, and navigation where we previously had limited capabilities. Let me now turn the call over to Mike for some additional commentary.
Thanks, Sharm. On June 30th, ISMS closed on an asset purchase agreement in which we acquired the exclusive intellectual property rights to service the installed base Sharm just described. Honeywell sold, assigned, or licensed certain assets related to its inertial, communication, and navigation product lines, including a sale of certain inventory valued at approximately $12.5 million, equipment valued at approximately $6 million, customer-related documents, an assignment of certain contracts, and a grant of exclusive and non-exclusive licenses to use certain Honeywell intellectual property related to its inertial, communication, and navigation product lines to repair, overhaul, manufacture, sell, import, export, and distribute certain products to the company. These product lines have attractive margin profile characteristics that are similar to our current product portfolio, which is an essential element of our strategy. Consequently, once they've been integrated into our operations, we expect the transaction to materially contribute to our revenues and EBITDA. Revenues are expected to grow over 40%, while EBITDA is expected to grow roughly 75%. We also expect the resulting EPS to be accretive in fiscal 2024, with the potential for additional net income increases in future years from various synergies. As Sharm noted, while the bulk of revenue is from manufacturing, subassemblies, repair and maintenance of existing equipment, there is the potential for further growth and synergies in future years. The purchase price was $36 million, which included the aforementioned $18.5 million in hard assets that was paid in cash at the time of closing. Coincident with this acquisition, we have amended our bank facilities to fund this acquisition as well as maintain ample liquidity for ongoing operations and potential future acquisitions. In particular, we have secured a $20 million term loan. The term loan has a floating rate, five-year amortization schedule, and has a variable pricing structure with the current interest rate at approximately 7.66%. These funds, together with the $20 million of cash we had on our balance sheet prior to the acquisition, were used to fund the acquisition. The amended loan agreement contains customary terms and covenants, which include a covenant requiring the company not to exceed the maximum ratio of funded debt to EBITDA, measured quarterly commencing with the quarter ending June 30, 2023. We expect to satisfy that covenant. To the extent required, the company intends to file the pro forma financial information required by item 9.01B as an amendment to this current report on Form 8K as soon as practicable, and in any event, no later than 71 days after the date on which this current report on Form 8K is required to be filed pursuant to item 2.01. I'd now like to open the call to questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw from the question queue, please press star then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. The first question is from Tim Moore of EF Hutton. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on this acquisition and the licensing deal and, you know, being patient for something that seems like a home run. I mean, to quote one of my favorite movies, Rounders, I mean, definitely laid down a monster hand today. And thanks for providing all those details. I really appreciate it. I think investors do. I just was wondering if you can elaborate a little bit more on maybe a rough estimate of the end markets. Sales mix, is it mostly business jets or does it tilt more towards commercial cargo? You know, it sounded like there was an opportunity for maybe military later on, but I'm just wondering maybe where the business mix sales split is, and is it more evenly split between retrofit, repair, and new products?
So there were a lot of questions there, Tim. So in terms of the markets, again, we bought two distinct product lines. One was the inertial product lines. Those are, as I said, there's a lot of synergies with what we do currently on our 75, 767, and 737 aftermarket product line. Some of those customers that we are going to be serving with the initial reference units are existing customers. But I guess the good thing about that is that just about everybody that flies those airplanes is going to become our customer. And that opens the door for us to gain larger market share on our cockpit display systems as well. Those are mainly on the aftermarket repair. We will be manufacturing some new units. They're not OEMs, but for spares, and as well as we'll be making sub assemblies here in Exton, Pennsylvania, that we would sell to channel partners internationally for repair of these product lines. In terms of the larger market is the business aviation market, where some of these inertials as well as the navigation and communication product lines. Now, those include transponders, navigation radios, communication radios, audio systems, and those are installed start with Gulfstreams and go all the way down to Citations in thousands and thousands of high-end business aviation aircraft. Those product lines also that they go through some new sales, and we have we having the IP for the radios and the audio systems and the transponders allow us to augment our offerings in the business aviation, where currently we have display systems, but we lack communication and some of the navigation equipment. This allows us to complement those, where in the past we would have had to go and partner with other avionics manufacturers and pay significantly higher prices to be able to complete our aftermarket offerings on the business aviation. We will have our own products to offer in those markets. The radios are such that they can be expanded into the military market, because the frequency expands into the military frequencies, and that makes it very attractive. In terms of inertials, we announced the deal, and we're already getting inquiries for new inertials for some of the government and military market platforms. So it's early stages right now. We're focused on successful integration of these product lines into our facility, and that's the key thing, is to be expedient, bring that in. We see a lot of synergies. We see a lot of cost savings, and we're heavily engaged in doing that in a rapid way, so we can quickly take advantage of the benefits.
Great. Thanks, Sharam, for those extra details and color. You mentioned earlier, Sharam, that in your opening remarks that, you know, you expect a 40% increase to fiscal 2024 sales from this. And Mike mentioned an impressive 75% increase to EBITDA. Does that 75% increase in EBITDA include the capacity utilization benefit synergies? I mean, I know you're not doing it all in-house in Pennsylvania, but or is that 75% a standalone figure pre-synergies and getting more scale utilization out of your manufacturing facility?
So to be clear, the 40% I said it's over 40%.
And the 75% that Mike said, I think he said over 75%.
Yeah, and that is really, kind of as is, as acquired before synergy. So there's additional upside to that.
Wow, that's great. Thanks for clarifying that. I really appreciate that, investors. Well, that's pre-synergies. And do you have to do much hiring? Because I know when I visited the facility, I believe it was in March, I think you had some, you seemed like you could scale up and you had ability to maybe not have to hire much and add extra costs on that front.
Yeah, just in terms of touch labor, we will be hiring a few, and also what we need to do is to strengthen our plan is to strengthen our product support group, hire two or three people in that area. There is a lot of good margin associated with some of this power by hour agreements that we will be acquiring as part of this business, and that's an area where we've never played in, but as we're learning, that is an area that we also want to be probably looking at some of our existing product lines to take advantage of that market.
That sounds terrific. I'll ask one more question before hopping off to let other participants ask questions. I was just wondering, do you have an estimate of maybe the integration and the closing costs? I mean, I'm going to treat those as one-off. And should those all pretty much fall in this quarter, actually in the September quarter, because it was signed June 30th, you mentioned?
Yeah, Tim, pretty much all of the integration costs will be incurred during our fourth quarter. You can expect to see the bulk of them be recognized in fiscal 2023.
Great. I'll hop off and let others ask.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from Jeff Bronchick of Cove Street Capital. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, Jeff. Hey, Sharam, this may be, I mean, obviously this is a type of deal you wanted to do, but how did this specific one come about? Was it, this is your relationship with Honeywell, someone on the board, or brought a banker? Maybe a little background about that.
Yeah, so we have a business development person that essentially is carrying the industry for these type of acquisitions, as well as the whole acquisitions of a company. This particular one comes through some of the relationships I've had with some of the Honeywell folks over the years, and with the help of our business development guy. He's got a lot of experience in transactioning these kind of deals, which was an area that we needed strength in, and he's proved to be very helpful and very useful to us in making sure that we get a deal that's very good for ISNS.
Got it. And I mean, were you looking for this specific product set and pried it out of Honeywell, or this was among a myriad of things that were, available, and this one made the most sense?
So this we've been looking at Honeywell divestitures over the past year, and we passed on some of them. This has been the best one for us so far that we've seen. In terms of what we're going to be doing for our future acquisitions, there may be some additional acquisitions we will do down the similar product lines from Honeywell here. But we're also going to be looking at now in terms of more areas where we will bring in more technology into the company that to complete our offerings. That's very important for us to be able to do a full offering into the market. It will put us in a different category of suppliers.
Got it. And just to be clear, so there's no facilities coming with this. Is just people, IP, and some machines and some inventory. Is that correct?
There is no people. So this is IP,
test equipment, no
inventory. And as part of that, there is we get a lot of training where our people will be trained on these product lines. And what I did was that I actually hired a business development guy from Honeywell that actually ran some of these product lines to help us with the marketing side.
Got it. Guy, and you know, you obviously, you know, whatever integration costs, but I mean, is there, do you need to spend CapEx money for equipment or, you know, additional facility or not at all? This is fitting it into what you have.
Yeah, we're doing some internal rearranging here of our space, which is not, it's in terms of tens of thousands of dollars. It's nothing big. We're not looking at doing any huge test equipment. We're getting just about everything that we need as part of these acquisitions. One of the things when we're looking at into the future is that typically Honeywell has outsourced a lot of these manufacturing of their sub-assemblies. There's opportunities there for us to take a look at some of the outsourcing they do, because we have full in-house capability. Initially, we're going to continue with their existing suppliers. Long run, we're going to take a look to see whether it makes sense to bring some of that in and take more advantage of our surface mount technology facility as well, and build some of those boards in house. It's too early to tell. We're going to do what makes sense.
Is there like what is the product name? I mean, it's in navigation management. Is it called something? I missed that.
So we not supposed to use Honeywell's brand names. We can't use their name or their brand names in these product lines. But okay. I mean, Honeywell inertial reference units and air data inertial reference units are well renowned in the world in the transfer territory market. Obviously, we're not buying the latest and greatest.
Right. And just lastly, just to be clear, so you go to customer and they're looking for a quote-unquote solution, and you've had your historical part, and then you would go out and essentially buy and partner with a Honeywell in this product line and sort of present them together to the client as a solution. And then is that sort of how it has been? And then what you're saying now is you don't have to do that. We can do that in-house and sort of, you know, take in that margin. Is that what, am I getting that right?
That's correct. So for example, in the past, when we did cockpit upgrades on a PC-12, we would actually go buy transponders, we would buy radios, navigation radios, communication radios from, say, Honeywell at premium prices, and include that in our offering. And today, or soon, within a year or so, we'll be able to, because we're going to have to do some modifications to these to integrate it with our own system. But we have all the IP that allows us to do that.
Okay.
Also, it will allow us to do. There's other offerings we can do in the industry, just for transponders and for radios, as well as inertial reference units that we could take advantage of the IP to do that.
Great. Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
The next question is from Andrew Rem of Odinson Partners. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Appreciate the call here. Just in terms of the revenue, it sounds like it's going to be about $11 million contribution. Could you maybe talk about the timing of that? Does that come in gradually over fiscal 24, or how should we think about it kind of layering into the business?
I think it's going to the revenue is going to, we're going to get it in fourth quarter 23. And the agreement right now is that as of 1st of July, we own this P&L. For the first 5 to 6 months, Honeywell is going to execute on our behalf on all of these as we integrate the operations into our facility. So we will see revenues in this current quarter from it, and going forward the same way. I think what's going to happen is that after January of 2024, which will be our second fiscal quarter, we should see better margins coming from it because we will be executing on all the P&L.
Okay, and can you maybe just talk about, is there any risk to as you make that transition? So you're saying the first 4 or 5 months, it's really them kind of executing, and then you guys kind of take over on the execution side. So can you talk just a little bit about kind of the risk of not getting the $11 million or so that you're currently anticipating or that effectively was acquired?
So it's all about execution. Obviously, if we plan on executing properly, we put a strong team, integration team together. I actually hired somebody that retired from Honeywell and did a lot of integration work for Honeywell on these product lines in the past, where they've actually moved the product line. And we were fortunate. He had retired from Honeywell a year ago, and we've hired him actually to help us with this transition. So we've taken a lot of steps to assure that this is a successful transition. And every one of these acquisitions, at the end of the day, it boils down to how good you do that integration, how fast you would do it. And we've got the last 2 weeks, we've been busy, getting very little sleep, but busy putting together all the transition plans and making sure that we've covered all the angles for a successful transition.
Okay, thanks. Can you also comment on your ability to kind of cross-sell? So the revenue synergy sounds like you guys are saying that there's an opportunity for you guys to kind of cross-sell your cockpit display and maybe just help us understand how you execute on that, what it can look like.
Not quite sure if I understood the question.
Well, is your cockpit display opportunities sold in conjunction with the Honeywell solution? Is that how these go together?
So there's multiple opportunities. If you look at the air transport side, every airplane, 737, Classic, 757, 767 operator in the world is going to become our customer with their with those initial reference units. That means we're going to be on their approved vendor list. That means that opens the door for us to go in there and sell our display upgrades into those platforms. So that we believe that would accelerate our cockpit display offerings on the 757-767. On the business aviation side, the radios, the transponders are products, some of the products that we typically go outside, either buy them from Honeywell or L3 or other avionics suppliers to in our upgrades for the military as well as for business aviation side. The products that we acquired allow us to integrate those with our offerings on a lot of these military upgrades as well as business aviation upgrades.
All right, and then Mike, can you help me understand if the business is coming over at roughly the same margin profile as your existing business, how you're able to get the 75% increase in EBITDA without getting any kind of manufacturing benefits?
Yeah, so the gross margin is fairly close, but the operational expenses are a bit lower to run this portion of the business, hence the higher bottom line and also included in that are some interest expenses that we will incur to pay off the loan, which come out of that EBITDA or added back into that EBITDA.
All right, and then in terms of the opportunity to get additional cost synergies over time, is it like how much of the business that you guys are taking over will you be able to do that in and over what period of time might that occur?
Talking about the cost synergies?
Yeah, so if you take some of the manufacturing in-house, like how much should we think about in terms of how much of the revenue base that you're taking on, would you actually have the opportunity to do that in, and then over what period of time might that type of in-house transition occur?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be evaluating that. We're going to keep the company. We're going to keep the business running as is for now. Better understand it, and then look into it further to see if it's worthwhile for us to bring that in house. So it's a little bit difficult to say right now what the synergies that might result, but we think that they're there.
And then maybe just lastly for me, it sounds like there's some regulatory hurdles that you kind of have to go through. Is that one of the things that gets completed in that first 4 to 5 months? And so from a checklist item, once you guys are pretty much on your own in terms of executing, that will all be behind you. Is that how we should think about it?
So the first 5 or 6 months, we will have all the authorizations in place to do everything. I think it will probably take us about a year before we can get all the TSOs moved over or reapply for them, but then we can actually modify those equipment and take advantage of additional markets. but to execute on the existing P&L, all of that would happen within this first 5 to 6 months.
All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen. This is great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks, Andrew.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from John Moran of Robotti & Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, I was just wondering if you have any insights as to why Honeywell is divesting these business lines. And then secondly, can you comment at all on the process? Is this sort of an auction run, or is this just shown to you and it was a negotiation?
So Honeywell has been, over the past couple of years, they've been divesting a number of their avionics product line. And they're going to continue doing so from what we understand. The exact nature of their purpose is that they will not share with us. Other than these are the kind of the previous generation of the product line, and now they're moving on with their latest engines. Typically that's where these product divestitures are happening. You know the big picture there. I can speculate on it, but it's not something I want to publicly share with us. Probably. It's not going to be good, but it's movements within Honeywell that they're doing a lot of divestitures and consolidations of their platforms.
Thanks. And just about the process, was there
for any one of these? There is, I think, for example, for these, I think. So there were about seven bidders that bid on these product lines, and it's not necessarily always about the price. A lot of it because of the nature of these product lines. Honeywell wanted to make sure that the company that is selected can perform on the air transport, on the military, as well as the business aviation. So we, in a way, we had unique capabilities at IS&S that made us a very attractive buyer for Honeywell, because at the end of the day, what they don't want is for this transaction not to go well, and they get a lot of grief from Boeing and Airbus. And Embraer and Gulfstream and all of those large OEMs ranging from business aviation to air transport, because the people that acquired this product line didn't have the knowledge or the capabilities to perform on these contracts.
Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. There are no additional questions at this time. This concludes the question and answer session and today's conference. Thank you for attending today's presentation.